We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you. But the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising. But the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
Just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via the Galaxy 25 satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and the World Wide Web. This is the second hour of Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here on the 20th of September. And before the break, we had John in Tennessee on the line, and John was telling us he's delivering gas right now. And we're talking about this banking crisis today. We're talking about everything that's been happening, well, since 1913, if you want to get right down to it. Mainly the stuff that's developed in the last couple of weeks with all of these government bailouts and how they're literally bleeding the American people dry. Anyway, John, welcome back to the program. You were talking, you were saying that people had long lines waiting at the gas stations. You want to continue with your thoughts?
Yeah, and I was going to take it into the banking and the insurance buyout. But what they're doing, Darren, at 3:30 in the morning at a gas station that's out of gas, these people are lining up waiting for the truck. So we see that whoever it is that has learned this process of programming and manipulating people are doing a bang-up job. They're going into a pack mentality. It's Saturday morning. I'm running into people. I'm saying, what are you doing here at 3:30? Well, I've got to have gas. I said, do you work today? No. I said, go home. You know, I mean, go home.
Right.
And you said, wouldn't it be a great job to have as far as the Federal Reserve to be able to make a couple of keystrokes, create money out of thin air, and merge or acquire an insurance company and other private banks? I'm looking at this AIG bailout, buyout, merger, whatever, hostile takeover, put whatever name you want on it.
Uh-huh.
They're getting 80% of the worth or the, I forget exactly how they said it, but they're getting 80% control of what
company.
Assets. Of the company.
Right.
Now, I'm telling everyone that's listening to me, look to Iran. Look to Iran and look at the connections that AIG has to the insurance of the Iranians and see if this is not the Federal Reserve's attempt at creating or waging a financial war against Iran to get them to toe the line. I believe it with all my heart. And if it's not Iran, look at AIG and the insurance that they're holding in China. What we're doing is trying to, the screws are being twisted on America, and it's no accident.
Yeah.
This is all, and I get some strange looks from the everyday folks that are crying and complaining when I tell them that this is orchestrated. You've got a private bank in the Federal Reserve that has just merged or taken over Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, they've taken them over, and you've created the money. But
yeah,
it's debt on your
John,
back.
you want to hold over another break?
Yeah, for a minute, I can. That'd be
okay,
fine.
All right, stay with us. We have another break here to take. Folks, we'll be back in a moment with John in Tennessee on Govern America. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I have had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product. Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on to the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
All right, we are back. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. This is Governor America. I'm Darren Weeks. We have John in Tennessee on the line. 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to participate in the broadcast. John, you make some very good points. I know with AIG, they're involved in insuring these derivatives, and I think that's what Ellen Brown was getting at with her article. It's the derivatives stupid. That's the title of her article. The AIG... they pretty much had, according to what she says anyway, they could not let that go because it was going to take down the entire economy, the entire global. I mean, they're so tangled up in this gambling that they're doing now with these markets. And it was fine as long as everything was going their way. But as soon as things started to tank and go south, suddenly, then they're in financial trouble and something's got to be done. Anyway, I don't know if you remember where you were in your thoughts.
Well, we look at them, Darren, as being these, and I appreciate you holding me over. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but we look at them as being, or used to look at them as being intelligent people. We can say this much for them. At least they're practicing what they've been preaching. You know, we've been living under this fractional banking system where they're loaning out thousands of times more than they have on deposit. At least they're gambling big money and gambling more than they have. The thing is, it's money game. I liken it to a poker game at somebody's kitchen table where we're coming to the end of the game. The money's being moved to fewer and fewer hands, and people saying, too rich for me, and they're throwing the cards in. And that's exactly what's happening when people are taking what asset they do have, they're taking it out of the market. You know, these big money guys, Buffett and Gates and whatnot, Eisner, that have sold options in companies, converted to cash and probably bought gold and silver, you know, and they're cashing out. All around the world, people are cashing out of this system that they know is collapsing. It's being presented, in my opinion, to people as an unfortunate accident, when I believe that it's exactly what the plan was. Destroy the economy, start a new poker game, you know, get a new form of currency, name it whatever you want. Everything's roses for another 20, 30, 70 years, however long they can make the game last. And
then they'll collapse
the
it again.
Thing.
Yeah. And then they'll collapse it again and rebuild again.
Absolutely. And what's amazing to me, I'm a truck driver, my friend. I drive a truck. That's all I do, but I can see it plain as day.
Yeah.
And yet you've got people that have been postgraduate school and all the rest of this stuff, and they're saying, well, we got to keep investing. Well, yeah, you'll hear Susie Orman, or you'll hear Oberman, or you'll hear others that are giving financial advice. You got to keep investing. Now's the time to buy. The prices are low. Well, yeah, you got to keep investing. Not that you're going to ever see a benefit, but that they're going to get every penny and every, you know, every scintilla that they can ever imagine or dream of getting from you they want before they collapse the system. So
right.
You got to keep pouring it in so we can get it all.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. It's
and,
to me,
and money,
it's,
and money
it's
is an absolute
clear.
Fiction. Money is an absolute fiction today, and this is what I'm rather fond of saying, because they can't really steal any money from you, because really money doesn't exist.
It does. Not only does it not exist, Darren, but here's what people need to, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but when you're talking about, you know, the game Monopoly has been a tremendous game, and it's been, people have loved it for years. And what are you playing with? You're playing with paper that means nothing, and you're controlling the board. Well, in real life, the people are playing with money that doesn't exist, and they're controlling the economy, and yet even your banker, as educated as they are, they're given control of billions of dollars at the bank, and many of the bank managers say, well, it's an accidental. They won't come out and say it in words, but our economy is accidental. It's not orchestrated. It's not manipulated. We're just doing, we're going along with the flow. And these are people that are given charge over your deposits.
Yeah.
You know, when, and to me, it just blows my mind to think that people think anything in this economy is coincidental.
Now, you had mentioned before about long lines at the gas station. I'm wondering, is there some kind of news report or some reason why these people are showing up in the middle of the night to try to get gas, that they're afraid that it's not going to be available or something, or that the prices are going up?
Well, I drove yesterday, for instance. I live in Nashville. I'll tell everyone where I'm at. I'm sure the people that really need to know where I'm at already know where I'm at.
That's right.
But I'm in Nashville. I drove to Memphis yesterday, 600 miles round trip, to get one load. And before I got it in the ground, it was already being taken out of the ground. The stores here are empty. People are lining up, waiting. You know, and I'm spending time to get out. I'm spending more time to get out than I am to get in.
You know, one thing.
Give them the gas.
One thing that I've noticed, John, and I don't know if you've noticed this as well, and I really, from a perspective of somebody who delivers gas for a living, I would be very interested in hearing what your take is on this. Because I've been driving around in my area, and I live in southern Michigan. I spend a lot of time in the capital city, Lansing. But I've been noticing in the Lansing and Jackson area here, where I frequent, that there's a lot of gas stations that have gone out of business. Are you seeing that as well where you're located?
Well, they're not going out of business, but they're being taken over. They're being bought up, and I can give you a name. And if you'll punch it into Google, it'll bring down millions of responses. It's D-E-L-E-K, Delek Refining, out of Israel. And who I happen to work for, so if Delek's listening, yeah, it's me. They're buying up everything. I mean, I'm working for a company that I wish I could say things could be different. But they're buying everything. They're buying shopping malls. They own the World Trade Center in Lucerne, Switzerland. They buy They're buying hotels and motels and shopping malls and gas stations, and it's all, they're Israelis. They don't finance anything, buddy. They pay cash.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how to explain. I know what you're talking about in Michigan, but you've got the refinery up in Alma, or you used to, and, you know, you've got some other refineries in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and that are still operating.
Well, my thinking was I thought maybe these are smaller mom-and-pop owned fuel stations that just can't make it. I know the gas stations.
Absolutely they can't make it because it's coming to, in the gasoline industry, these huge oil companies are doing what Walmart is doing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They're eliminating the ability for them to compete, so they're giving up and going home. You want my store? I can go home broke, like the Monopoly game. I can play it until I don't have any more cards to play, or till my money's all gone, or I can say, you know, you've offered me X amount of money, you're going to win anyway, I'm out of here. And that's what they're doing.
Now, we know they only make about pennies on a gallon.
Well, they're making a fortune on it right now, I guarantee you. And up to no pennies on a gallon.
Well, I was talking about the station owners. At least that's what I've been told.
I used to deliver gasoline in Detroit, and I did a lot of work for Mobil Oil. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, the margin was about 2 cents on a gallon.
There you go.
And the dealers were complaining that any time they made a profit, that Mobil would come their rent and take away their profit. It's been gone.
Well, John, you're breaking up now. I'm gonna have to let you go. I can't understand you anymore. But, hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-313-9443. We're almost up to another break, but we can certainly squeeze in some more calls. 1-800-313-9443. I also have a lot more information. I want to conclude this article by Ellen Brown because I think it's very important. She, under the heading of Time for a 21st Century New Deal, she says, another hole has been plugged in the very leaky boat, keeping it afloat another day, but how long can these stopgap measures be sustained? Professor Rubini maintains the step-by-step ad hoc, non-holistic approach of Fed and Treasury to crisis management has been a failure. Plugging and filling one hole at a time is useless when the entire system of levies is collapsing in the perfect financial storm of the century. A much more radical, holistic system approach to crisis management is now necessary. We may soon hear that the credit market is frozen and there is no money to keep homeowners in the business or in their homes or working gainfully employed or infrastructure maintained. But this is not true. The underlying source of all money is government credit, our own public credit. We don't need to borrow it from the Chinese or the Saudis or private banks. The government can issue its own credit, its full faith and credit of the United States. This was the model followed by Pennsylvania colonists in the 18th century, and it worked brilliantly well. Before the provincial government solved the credit problem by issuing and lending its own paper script, a publicly owned bank lent the money to farmers at 5% interest. The money was returned to the government, preventing inflation, and the interest paid the government's expenses, replacing taxes. During this period, the system was in place, the economy flourished, prices remained stable, and the Pennsylvania colonists paid no taxes at all, folks. No taxes at all. Today, she says, today's credit crisis is very similar to that facing Herbert Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s. In 1932, Herbert Hoover set up the Reconstruction Finance Corporation as a federally owned bank that would bail out commercial banks by extending loans to them as a privately owned Federal Reserve Bank is doing today. But like today, Hoover's ploy failed. The banks did not need more loans. They were already drowning in debt. They needed customers with money to spend and invest. President Roosevelt used Hoover's new government-owned lending facility to extend loans where they were needed the most, for housing, agriculture, and industry. Many federal agencies were set up and backed by the RFC, including the Homeowners Loan Corporation and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We got to take another break here, folks. We'll conclude this on the other side. Stay with us. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views
on Cartabyte.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartabyte and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartabyte is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in 5 countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part 1 of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part 2 for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Back to the broadcast, Govern America. GovernAmerica.com is the website. I want to conclude some of this banking information here real soon because I know we have a lot of other stuff to talk about here. But I think it's important, folks, to realize that there are real solutions for a monetary system that's not so subject to inflation, not so subject to control. But this whole thing is set up and for the bleeding, literally the bleeding of the American people. Our country is bankrupt. Our country has been bankrupt for many, many years. And because of that, now we have foreign investors coming in, even as John was saying, John in Tennessee, a moment ago. You know, you have the Israeli company coming in and literally buying up everything in this country. We have the communist Chinese buying up our debt here in this country and using the leverage against us. We have these corrupt politicians in Congress, as we'll see in a moment, all the money that they're taking from these banking entities to implement the programs, to implement whatever the banking... I mean, they're puppets, folks. They're puppets to the bankers. So Ellen Brown, before the break, we were saying that she said that today's credit crisis is very similar to that facing Herbert Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s. In 1932, Herbert Hoover set up the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, or RFC, as a federally owned bank that would bail out the commercial banks by extending loans to them, much as the privately owned Federal Reserve is doing today. But like today, Hoover's ploy failed. The banks did not need more loans. They were already drowning in debt.
They needed customers with money to spend and invest. President Hoover and President Roosevelt used Hoover's new government-owned lending facility to extend loans where they were needed the most for housing, agriculture, and industry. Many new federal agencies were set up and funded by the RFC, including the Homeowners Loan Corporation and Fannie Mae, the Federal National Mortgage Association, which was then a government-owned agency. In the 1940s, the RFC went into overdrive, funding the infrastructure necessary for the U.S. to participate in World War II, setting up the country with the infrastructure it needed to become the world's industrial leader after the war. The RFC was a government-owned bank that sidestepped the privately owned Federal Reserve, but unlike the Pennsylvania provincial government, which originated the money it lent, the RFC had to borrow the money first. The RFC was funded by issuing government bonds and re-lending the proceeds. Then, as now, new money entered the market, entered the money supply, chiefly in the form of private bank loans. In the fractional reserve banking system, banks are allowed to lend their reserves many times over. And, of course, we know they don't really have reserves, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing on reserve. Literally, when you get a loan from a bank, they literally, at that moment, put the money, quote-unquote money, in your account. When they put the money in your account, that's when the money is created. It didn't exist prior to your walking into the bank, you see. This is the joke, the sick joke. Money doesn't exist until it's loaned into circulation. But anyway, and a fractional and that's fractional reserve banking. But they according to their bookkeeping practices, they have quote unquote reserves, and they're able to lend those reserves, quote unquote, many times over, effectively multiplying the amount of money in circulation. Today, a system of public banks might be set up on the model of the RFC to fund productive endeavors, industry, agriculture, housing, energy, but we could all go a step further than the RFC and give the new public banks the power to create credit themselves, just as the Pennsylvania government did as a private and private banks do now. At the rate banks are going into FDIC receivership, the federal government will soon own a string of banks, which it might as well put to productive use, she says. Establishing a new RFC might be an easier move politically than trying to nationalize the Federal Reserve, but that is what should properly, logically be done, she says. If we, the taxpayers, are putting up the money for the Fed to own the world's largest insurance company, we should own the Fed. Proposals for reforming the banking system are not even on the radar screen of primetime politics today, but the current system is collapsing at train wreck speed. And the challenge, the change called for in Washington, may soon be taking a direction undreamt of a few years ago. We need to stop funding the culprits who brought us this debacle at our expense. We need a public banking system that makes a cost-effective credit mechanism available for homeowners, manufacturing, renewable energy, and infrastructure. And the first step to making it cost-effective is to strip out the swarms of gamblers, fraudsters, and profiteers now gaming the system. So that's Ellen Brown weighing in on it's the derivative, stupid, why Fannie, Freddie, and AIG all had to be bailed out. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to go through some of these handouts to members of Congress, because we have there's a lot of people that are taking money from these international banksters. And I think it's important to look at who's actually doing the receiving, who's actually taking. You know, we have just about nearly every single politician almost in Congress today is receiving funds from the international banking cartel, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I have a list of them from an organization called the Center for Responsive Politics, and I think it's very telling to see why Congress is not doing and has not done anything to reel the banking system in. We have to take another break. This is Govern America, 1-800-313-9443. If you have any comments, 1-800-313-9443. We'll cover this, the federal handouts, the federal, we're following the money, folks. And then after that, I want to follow up on some of the stuff that's happening down in Texas. After the
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently?
Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product. There we go.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, host of The Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work, or there is some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural prior you won't be disappointed in. GetTheTea.com.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
Permit me to issue and control the money of the nation, and I care not who makes its laws. Those are the words of Mayor Amschid Rothschild, a prominent European banker in the 18th century. Welcome back to the Govern America broadcast. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here. I have from the New York Times a chart before me where they talk about the donations to the campaigns by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac of McCain and Obama. According to this information, $70,100 was given to the John McCain campaign by Jeffrey Boise, director of Freddie Mac. Alphonse D'Amato, former senator and Freddie Mac lobbyist, gave $30,800 to McCain. Jerome Kenney, $2,300. And Jerome is the director, a director of Freddie Mac. H. Patrick Swigert, director of Fannie Mae, former president of Howard University, gave $1,000 to John McCain. Robert Glover, okay, I'll skip Robert for a moment. Daniel Mudd, Jr., outgoing president of Fannie Mae, gave $1,000 to McCain. John Seitz, Jr., gave $1,000. He is the director of Fannie Mae. Louis Free, former FBI chief and director of Fannie Mae, gave $200. And there were 29 lobbyists and others
for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who gave $63,500 for a total of $169,000 given to McCain. Now let's look at Barack Obama. William Lewis, the director of Freddie Mac, gave $4,600. Herbert Allison Jr. was president of Fannie Mae, former finance chair of McCain 2000, gave $2,300. Brenda Gaines gave $2,300. Patrick Swigert, who I mentioned a moment ago, gave $1,000 to both McCain and Obama. Robert Glauber was the director of Freddie Mac. He gave $1,000 for a total of, and 29 other lobbyists for both companies gave $4,800 additional dollars to Obama for a total of $16,000 to his campaigns. Now, OpenSecrets.org reports, and this is the website for the Center for Responsive Politics. They report that Christopher Dodd, the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, every news article that I see talks about how powerful this guy is. As the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, he received a total from individuals. Now, we're just talking about individuals here that are associated with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, okay? $116,000, $116,900, almost $117,000 from individuals alone associated with those companies. From political action committees of those companies, he received $48,500 for a total of $165,400. Now, they report that Barack Obama received $120,000 from individuals, $6,000 from political action committees. I think the New York Times article just reports about the political action committees. Anyway, Barack Obama, according to this, received $126,349 as a grand total. Now, these are just the dollars that we know about, folks, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other, there's a lot of other money that's not even on the books. But Senator John Kerry received $109,000 from individuals, $2,000 from political action committees, for a total of $111,000. There's a lot of other names on this list that would stand out. Obviously, I'm not going to read all of them. But Hillary Clinton, $68,000 from individuals, $8,000 from PACs, political action committees, for a total of $76,050. I'm trying to catch Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, $9,000 from individuals, $47,000 from political action committees, $56,250 altogether that we know that she took from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac lobbyists. A lot of other names on the list, and I guess we made the point. I'll cover John McCain, $21,550 from individuals, according to this OpenSecrets.org, the Center for Responsive Politics. The point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that as long as we have these politicians in office right now profiteering from the banking industry, taking bribes, accepting bribes and handouts from these banking entities, how are we ever going to have a sound financial system, a sound banking system? These people certainly are representatives, but they're not representing you and I. And with this AIG handout, this government bails out a heavy hitter, Open Secrets says the Federal Reserve announced today, on September 17th, that is, that it's coming to the rescue of the AIG to the tune of $85 billion. The nation's largest insurer, which asked the Fed for emergency funding in the midst of financial hardships, hasn't had trouble over the years giving money to lawmakers, however. AIG is on CRP's heavy hitters list, which profiles the 100 all-time contributors to federal candidates and committees. Of all the companies facing major transitions over the last week, lawmakers owned the most stock in AIG. 27 lawmakers owned stock in AIG last year worth between $6.4 million and $20 million. Representative Robin Hayes, a Republican from North Carolina, one of the richest members of Congress, was at the top of the list of congressional investors owning stock worth between $2.8 million and $11.5 million, while Senator John Kerry followed with stock values at $2 million.
Of all the companies making headlines this week, AIG has been one of the most nonpartisan in its contributions, splitting evenly $9.7 million it has contributed over time. Senator Chris Dodd, as I mentioned a moment ago, chair of the Senate Banking Committee, has racked up the most from AIG as well as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with a total of $281,400. So you talk about putting the chicken hawk in guard of the chickens, folks. They say Charles Schumer, a Democrat from New York, a member of both Senate Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs Committee, and the Senate Finance Committee, takes second with $116,400. Presidential candidates John McCain and Barack Obama collected $103,000 and $82,600, respectively, I guess, from AIG. So are these politicians just simply protecting their own interests? Well, certainly that's what they're doing. That's what they always do. Now, the Council on Foreign Relations, Lee Hudson Teslick, wrote a few days ago about the coming Wall Street reforms. And this gets back to an earlier point that I was making, that a lot of the stuff that they're doing today is an implementation of what they wanted to do back in April, but the mandate wasn't there. Lee Teslick writes, the turmoil that rocked the global financial sector this week, bringing storied institutions to their knees and prompting harrowing declines for major stock indices, left more than a measure of uncertainty in its wake. Analysts generally declined to hazard near-term economic predictions, focused instead on what might halt the contagion. Just when the government appeared to have said enough, refusing to save the investment bank Lehman Brothers, the potential collapse of America's largest insurer, AIG, forced Washington back into their bailout pool, and one of the few consistent refrains was that reform of the financial system on a much larger scale than many had previously considered now seems increasingly likely. Can you say Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen? Yet with a new U.S. president and Congress set to assume power, analysts say 2009 could bring dramatic regulatory changes for U.S. banks, potentially spelling major changes for the future structure of the global financial network. The likely starting point, reports Dow Jones, is that the sweeping proposals put forth earlier this year by U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson could gain traction. Paulson's plan calls for broader expansion of the Federal Reserve's powers and, over the longer term, a reorganization of several government regulatory agencies to eliminate overlapping areas of responsibility and the loopholes created between them. Among other changes, the plan advocates merging Securities and Exchange Commission with the Commodities Future Trading Commission and calls for shutting down the U.S. Office of Thrift Supervision, which currently monitors savings and loan operations. The plan also calls for a federal charter for all banks. Did you get that, folks? The plan, Henry Paulson's plan, which he wanted to implement back in April, but he couldn't because we weren't in a big enough crisis. Well, his plan also calls for a federal charter for all banks. At present, some are managed by states and others by the federal government. In an interview discussing the proposals, CFR's Ben Steele says the plan, right, you know, who's argued for a national currency, by the way, in recent years, CFR's Ben Steele says the plan rightly attempts to eliminate gaps and overlaps in the current system, but also notes that practical tensions could arise, particularly when emerging the Securities and Exchange Commission and the CFTC, given differences in how they operate. He adds, however, that if the plan succeeds in making the system more cohesive, it could bolster the competitiveness of the U.S. financial services sector internationally. Beyond Paulson's plan, lawmakers have floated other ideas for making the financial system work more smoothly. And what a joke, making the financial system work more smoothly, more smoothly for them to profit. Representative Barney Frank, the chair of the House Financial Services Committee, endorses the idea of a new federal institution. More government, folks, to manage the assets of insolvent institutions. House Minority Leader Representative John Boehner
has flatly dismissed the idea, but the minority's views may hold considerably less sway after January. In the case, both sides agree that policy change on Capitol Hill is unlikely until next year. As Wall Street works to put out existing fires, some changes are taking place on their own accord. Slate notes the Bank of America's buyout of Merrill Lynch shattered a long-standing policy separating governance of commercial and investment banks. The result, the article says, is more power for the Fed, which will now have oversight of Merrill's investment banking operations. The Financial Times' John Plender, in a video analysis, called it, quote, the death knell of the independent investment bank. Beyond technical market governance, some analysts say markets face a bigger problem. Quote, the street's fundamental problem isn't the lack of capital, unquote, writes Robert Reich, former U.S. Secretary of Labor, Labor Secretary. It's lack of trust, he says, and without trust, Wall Street might as well fold up its fancy tent. Reich says the trust problem goes even deeper than the subprime mortgage mess. The recent market blowups, he says, have exposed a complicated game involving subjective ratings agencies, off-balance sheet liabilities, complex derivatives, and seemingly endless leverage. Here, however, the regulatory picture gets more murky, particularly given the global nature of financial markets. Once a new president takes office, Washington may well act to limit how much risk U.S. investment banks can assume. But analysts say they won't necessarily solve the problem. If Washington imposes very strict regulations on investment banks, Plender says, a lot of those very clever, ambitious people, the investment bankers, will jump ship. The effort to regulate could thus backfire, he says, prompting an expansion of the shadow banking system of hedge funds and financial institutions in countries with looser laws and leaving Washington's regulators with even less power than they have now. The Council on Foreign Relations, ladies and gentlemen, writing about Wall Street's coming reforms. We're talking about the increase of the Federal Reserve's power over everything. The Associated Press reports 2 days ago, some of John McCain's and Barack Obama's biggest fundraisers are executives from the stricken financial services industry, which will need all the help it can get from whoever wins the White House. Merrill Lynch and Company's chief executive, for example, has raised more than $500,000 for McCain's campaign. I think I covered that very well earlier, so I think I'm going to move on here. We're almost up to break time again. Here we see from Business Media. Business and Media, the Business and Media Institute. CEO Fannie and Freddie bailout makes America more communist than ever. Rogers Holdings in chief tells CNBC Europe, U.S. brand of socialism is meant only for the rich. They say, has America created its own variety of communism with the U.S. Treasury Department's bailout of two beleaguered government-sponsored enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? According to Rogers Holdings CEO Jim Rogers, the answer is yes. America is more communist than China right now, Rogers told CNBC Europe's Squawk Box Europe September 8th. You can at least have a free market in housing and a lot of other things in China. And you can see that this is welfare for the rich. This is socialism for the rich. It's bailing out the financiers, the banks, the Wall Streeters. Rogers, known for launching the Quantum Fund with left-wing heavyweight George Soros, said the bailout was not benefiting homeowners or helping average citizens improve their standing for a home mortgage. Quote, it's not bailing out the homeowners who are in trouble, by the way, Rogers said. It's not bailing out the people who want a mortgage. It's just bailing out financial institutions. This is not my idea of the way things are supposed to be, but if that's what America wants, you know, it can elect people who are going to do it, more people who are going to do it. I think it's a mistake, unquote. The Rogers Holdings CEO had little confidence. The Democratic presidential nominee, Senator Barack Obama III, or Republican vice president nominee, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, would be able to do anything to steer Freddie or Fannie on a more stable path. This is a huge business, a huge mess, and neither one of them has a clue as to what to do next year, Rogers said. Bank stocks around the world are going through the roof. That's because they've all been bailed out. You don't see the homeowners in Kansas going through the roof because they're not being bailed out. What a mess. Rogers had previously called for Fannie and Freddie to be allowed to go bankrupt. They should not be bailed out, he said. This is outrageous. Who are these people who are taking our money and doing this and ruining America? Let the patient go bankrupt. We have courts in America. They will be reorganized. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were, they wove a mantle of invincibility through lobbying, according to a September 8th Wall Street Journal Deal Journal blog post. According to Journal's Heidi Moore, the mortgage giants had $170 million in lobbying bills in the past decade and spent $3.5 million on lobbying just in this year's first quarter, spreading their largesse among 42 outside lobbying firms. Earlier on September 8th, CNBC Mad Money host Jim Cramer called the bailout a home run plan on MSNBC's Morning Joe. So anyway, we got to take another break. When we come back, we'll cover some other information. I probably spent too long on this, but folks, I think this is vitally important when we have these government bailouts, and it's the people that always pay the price. We'll be back.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiovite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiovite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Government America. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here on this 20th of September, 2008. 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to participate in the broadcast. Before the break, we were talking about some of the profiteering that's going on in Congress regarding the banking institution. We also talk about wars. Here we see from the American Free Press, Ralph Forbes writes, about 151 congressmen derive financial profit from war. Once again, folks, are we going to have an end to the wars as long as our Congress is making money off of it, as long as our president is making money off of it? It's always the rich man's war and the poor man's fight. as families are being devastated around the world, as our military is being dispatched into over 130 countries around the world, as animosity is being created for us but on the part of other countries. They're angry at us for invading in their turf, in their territory. They say, who profits from the Iraq war? More than a quarter of senators and congressmen have invested at least $196 million of their own money in companies doing business with the Department of Defense that profits from the death and destruction in Iraq. According to the latest reports, 151 members of Congress invested close to a quarter billion in companies that received defense contracts of at least $5 million in 2006. These companies got more than $275.6 billion from the government in 2006, or $755 million per day, according to FedSpending.org, a website of the watchdog group OMB Watch. Congressmen gave themselves a loophole, so they only have to report their assets in broad ranges. Thus, they can be off as much as 160%. Try giving the IRS an estimate like that. In 2004, the first year after the present Iraq war began, Republican and Democratic lawmakers, both hawks and doves, invested between $74.9 million and $161.3 million in companies under contract with the Department of Defense. In 2006, Democrats had at least $3.7 million invested in the defense sector alone, compared to the Republicans' only $577,500. As the war raged on, so did the billions of profits and personal investments by Congress members in war contractors, which increased 5% from 2004 to 2006. Investments in these contractors yielded Congress members between $15.8 million and $62 million in personal income from 2004 through 2006 through dividends, capital gains, royalties, and interest. Senator John Kerry from Massachusetts and Representative James Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, who were two of Congress's wealthiest members, were among the lawmakers who garnered the most income from war contractors between 2004 and 2006. I don't know how much of this I want to share. Can we expect these people to actually do the right thing by our country? That's the question. And a very rhetorical question it is, folks, because I think everyone knows the answer. I say members of the Senate Foreign Relations and Armed Services Committees, which oversee the Iraq war, between $32 million and $44 million invested in companies with Department of Defense contracts. We have to take another break, the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll turn a corner. We'll talk a little bit more about what happened in Texas. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. 1-800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Your phone calls are welcome.